welcome to episode 209 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I'm David Hein of Hein News. Survived the four-year birthday party. Hope you're all doing well today, this week, whenever you're listening to the show. Lots of hoops going on, actually, and the club seasons are really just right around the corner. Club seasons and international and European club competitions. American basketball is a little bit further away, but things are really picking up in Europe, and actually some hoops going on in Asia. Before we talk about that, I want to let you know how you can get in contact with the show. Go over to Twitter, hit me up at Hein News, H-E-I-N-N-E-W-S. Go to Facebook. We have the Facebook group that's Taking the Charge podcast. Just put that in the search, and you will find us there. You can reach me at heinnews@gmx.de. There's the website, heinnews.com. You can support the show at Patreon. Thank you, Norbert Opitz, for doing that. Others follow suit, help keep the show alive. That is patreon.com/takingthecharge, all one word. Go there, show your support and love for the show. And if you want to rate and review the show on iTunes, you can do that as well. All right. I guess let's start with not the bigger of the stories, but actually one that I'm watching right now. The FIBA Asia Challenge is going on right now. And there was, I'm not going to say loads of stuff, but, you know, kind of a big reaction to India beating China in this biennial event. And, you know, to be honest, it's a great result for India, and, you know, it's a step in the right direction for them, you know, country, with just so much potential, just with the mass number of people, and, you know, things are getting up, picking up there, and, you know, and it's definitely good, for them to have knocked off the Chinese, but, you know, China's never won this event. In fact, they've never even taken a medal, despite hosting it 2014. You know, at least in 2014, I know. I didn't go back and look in 12 and 10 and all the other ones, but I know that, and this year's the case as well, that, you know, China is kind of giving others a little bit of a chance to make inroads into the senior national team, some youngsters. You know, 2 years ago, you know, Zhizhou came in as a 18-year-old. You had the 19-year-old Zhao, the point guard. Zhang Guo Zhang. Was still 19. So, you know, in this year, they've also gone to bring some youngsters. You have the 22-year-old Yuan Shuai. You have 20-year-old Zhu Yoshen, and then you have the couple of really nice talents, a trio of really nice talents in Fang Jiming, who was on the under-18 team and was also at the Basketball Without Borders. And then you have the small forward, the shooter from the 97 generation, Xiao Yanhao, and then the power forward center, who I really like. And I see that he's doing really well. Hu Jingku, who was on the at the under-19 World Championship 2 years ago, no, last summer, despite being a a year younger. So, you know, and they don't have really any of their big guns. So, you know, this is obviously since the, you know, since the Olympic team, you know, they played only a few, really just a couple weeks ago. So this is, you know, probably, you know, C team, whatever. And, you know, they're just, you know, this is giving these guys a chance, to kind of get some experience at the high level in Asia. So, you know, anytime they get beat in this competition, you know, people might be like, you know, pretty excited about it. You know, like I said, it is a good result for India. But, you know, you have to look at the fact that they haven't even taken a medal in this event. When you look at, you know, Qatar's won it and taken two medals. Kazakhstan's finished second in 08. So, you know, you even Kuwait took one in 08, finished third. So you kind of have to take it a little bit with a grain of sand. You know, Iran, I'd still say Iran is probably the favorites, mainly because they're playing at home and they brought, you know, at least Hamad Adahadadi there. You know, and they do have some of their younger guys as well. Again, another tournament to kind of get them into, you know, really totally into the senior national team. Saya Mashaheki is on the team and he's doing pretty well as a 22 year old. And then there's the 21 year old Benyam Yakshali. Otherwise, there's mainly veterans on this team, you know, also guys who, you know, long term are going to be playing a role, you know, Aslam Kazemi. They've clearly brought in, you know, a pretty decent group of players, which almost they have to, you know, hosting the event. So in Tehran this time around. That goes until the finals on Sunday, so I might talk a little bit about it next week. We'll see. But did want to let you know that FIBA Asia Challenge is going on right now. It's on live basketball TV, not on YouTube, so you're not going to be able to check it out on YouTube. But if you do have the live basketball TV package, you can check that out. Okay, today actually, basically probably right after I publish the podcast, I'll be on my way to Nuremberg/Bamberg today. There is the Easy Credit BBL, the new name sponsor, instead of Baco. They have their tip off this week, today, where they talk about the each club sort of has a chance to sort of present to the media what they've done over the off season and what their goals are for the season. I'm really hoping that not more than four or five, maybe six, max six, seven teams are saying our goal is to avoid relegation. You know, that seemed like that was the number one goal for probably 10 teams last season going into the season, to avoid relegation, which, you know, if your goal at the beginning of the season is to avoid relegation, in my eyes, you kind of need to set some new priorities and shift your focus, saying, you know, goal is to compete for the playoffs, at least. You know, eight teams can make the playoffs. You know, Giessen, you know, I can't remember. I actually wish I had gone back and taken a look. I'm sure they may have said that their goal was to avoid relegation. But, you know, they were on the brink of the playoffs as a promoted team, and you know, there's no reason why these other teams can't do it. So I'm really hoping that some of these German clubs say, you know, our goal is to make the playoffs. But I fear that probably 9, if not 10, maybe even 11 teams are going to say, you know, we don't, you know, our number one goal is to avoid relegation. And, you know, these teams' number one goal should be to make the playoffs, you know, to, you know, show their fans and, you know, I understand that, you know, you absolutely have to avoid going down. You know, it seems to me you aim higher, you know, just me. And then after that, after the teams present themselves to the media, basically we're all going to scoot over to Bamberg and check out the German national team playing a Eurobasket 2017 qualifier against Austria in probably one of the most interesting groups in the Eurobasket qualifying campaign. You know, you look at the group, and you know, you have Netherlands. This is Group B. Netherlands at 4-1, at 3-1, Germany and Austria at 2-2, and Denmark at 1-3. Denmark pulling off a huge upset, winning at home in double overtime against Germany. You know, obviously there's the Tibor Pleiss issue where, you know, Pleiss decided to leave the team, had I guess 2 NBA tryouts. To be honest, I'm not sure actually if he ended up going and making going to the tryouts or if just before he was about to leave, he signed up with Galatasaray. And so, you know, big you know, it's a big hit for them. You know, they lost to the Dutch as well. Hang on one second. Games results. I think they won their first two and then lost their second two, I am not mistaken. Come on. Yes, lost in Oberhausen by 4 points to the Netherlands. And so, you know, the Dutch are playing Denmark today, and then finish off at home against Germany on Saturday. And so they hold their fate in their own hands. Germany, on the other hand, also hold their fate in their own hands. If they win tonight against Austria and then beat Netherlands, although I guess they probably would have to beat Netherlands by at least 5 points in order to make up the difference of the 4-point loss, if Netherlands were to beat Denmark, which obviously should be the case. Haven't really had a chance to watch any of these games, but did read the one of the reports about the game against the Danes, which is really a minnow in European basketball, you know, they were talking about that it's just not a team, and you know, obviously, you know, Chris Fleming is having to go through this campaign now with a lot of guys not being there. Schroeder, Zerbis, you know, and then Pleiss pulls out at the end as well in the last two games. But, you know, it's still, you know, it's a team that, you know, should be beating Denmark with the level of talent that they do have. But yeah, tight, really tight group, and so it should be interesting. So that's tonight. You know, just taking a look at some of these other groups. You know, Belgium is really, you know, strong. You know, been really strong. I think their 59.5 points a game is the best. That's the best defensive points allowed. You know, and they're still scoring. 76. Which is, you know, sort of, you know, let's say, bottom of the top teams. But, you know, they just, you know, slow it down. And, you know, Iceland, Switzerland, and Cyprus, you know, they're doing what they should do. You know, you can say that Germany should be, you know, should be better than 2-2 in a group with the Dutch, Austria, and Denmark, you know, but the Dutch have shown a big, you know, shown really a nice next step after Eurobasket 15. You know, they ended up losing their opening game at home against the Austria, but then came back last week and stole the game, stole a road game in Austria, also taking taking the points advantage, points difference. Come back to Group C in a second. Group D, Poland, you know, just doing what you think they would do. You know, Estonia, Belarus, and Portugal being the other teams in that group. Slovenia, Ukraine are, you know, look like the two elite teams in Group E. Montenegro, Georgia, elite in Group C. I like this. I kind of like this Georgia team with some of the guys that they got. And, you know, you also now have Ilya Souras, the Greek coach, as the national team coach there. And, you know, that second game against Montenegro, they only lost by 2 points at home in Tbilisi to Montenegro. And then on Sunday and Saturday, there's the return game in Topolica, which I would imagine would decide first place in the group. Well, not first place in the group, the team that qualifies automatically. And I imagine the second team, I imagine if they do lose, the Georgians, that they should still be able to get in into the Eurobasket as one of the top second place teams. Where else am I? Group G. You know, we all know that Adam Hunga is a fantastic player. But I don't know if I really had, if I saw the Hungarians being 4-0. Sorry about that. If the Hungarians being 4-0, sorry about that. In a group with Great Britain, Macedonia, MKD, former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, covering all my bases there, and Luxembourg, and really, you know, a 19-point win over GB at home to open the campaign, 10-point win in Macedonia, MKD, former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia, and then an 8-point win over GB in London. You know, so they're doing a pretty good job. And you know, like I was saying, everybody knows that Adam Hunga is a heck of a player. But I really think that the key to this team has been a very, very good David Vojvoda, the 26-year-old, 26-year-old, who is playing at Szolnoki, there in Hungary. You know, Hungary, you know, he's been playing Euro Challenge for years now, and really has been a fantastic part of their team. And you know, him and Hunga, Adam Hunga, you know, have really been a fantastic 1-2 punch, combining for over 40 points a game, each having 5 assists a game, Vojvoda also hitting 36% from 3-point range, hitting three threes a game, averaging 3 threes a game. Just has been really, really impressive. And, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what they, you know, given that it seems like now they're pretty much set to be in the almost set to be in the Eurobasket, to maybe see what they can do in Eurobasket. You know, it seems like they might need another player. Maybe they try to to naturalize an American big guy. You know, who knows? You know, this is definitely really nice to see a country like Hungary, you know, kind of get back into the mix internationally. Okay, I promised to go back to Group C. I believe it was Group C. Group C, Russia obviously being at 3-0. They have now locked up a spot. If I'm not mistaken, have locked up a spot at Eurobasket. And the story, obviously, is not Russia in the group. It's more Bosnia and Herzegovina. You know, you had a kind of an ugly scene at the end of the game against Russia. It was in Bosnia. I'm trying to see where it was. I imagine it was probably in Sarajevo, but not sure. No, it was actually in Tuzla. You know, Russia ended up winning by 11, and but you had yes, okay. So Russia is in the Eurobasket. At the end of the game, you saw earlier. I guess no, that was kind of in the fourth quarter as well. Nurkic went down, kind of tripped up, and it looked like he got tripped up by Bukov, if I'm not mistaken. Dusan Musa, the mega talent youngster, kind of went at Mozgov. Mozgov was right there as well when Nurkic went down, and kind of went at Mozgov, thinking that he was the one who kind of tripped up Mozgov, and you know, ended up Bukov came over and kind of seemed to deflate it a little bit, saying, you know, it was me who tripped up Nurkic and stuff, and then. I didn't watch the game. I saw the highlights. I don't know if it was just the entirety of it or not. But then you had, Sergei Karasev come in, you know, driving to the lane, and you know, he really did give a little bit of an elbow, you know, to the chest of Musa, and you know, Musa, you know, it's hard to tell exactly how hard he got hit, may have been hit, whatever. It looks like he did get hit. But, you know, go back and just Google it and YouTube it, whatever, Google it, YouTube it. You know, Musa went down kind of theatrically. And was holding his chest. You know, again, you can't really. It's hard to tell exactly how hard he may have been hit, but you know, he got up, and reports are kind of saying that Captain Mirza Teletovic, you know, didn't really take too seriously the hit or whatever. I don't know if he thought maybe that Musa was faking it, flop or whatever, and reports afterwards kind of saying that, you know, Musa was kind of along the lines of, you know, why don't you defend me against the other team, and you see Teletovic kind of you know, grab / push off Musa, and you know, just the status of Musa, you know, let's see, is he even, no, so he's still only 17, you know, and he's already playing pretty well with the national team, averaging 11 and 7 plus 2 assists a game, almost 2 assists a game. You know, seeing him, and also he could have, you know, you know, just seeing him, you know, go after Mozgov, you know, after he thought he, you know, took down, after he kind of thought he took down Nurkic, and then that Teletovic kind of, you know, kind of, it seems like go after your own guy, as a captain too, just is an ugly scene. And so it's unclear, as far as I know, that it was tweeted out there that that Teletovic's ticket to let's see if I can go back to that, their next game tonight against Sweden, I think they're playing tonight against Sweden, that his ticket was canceled. I guess Nurkic went there on his own. Tonight against Sweden in Stockholm. You know, whether or not Teletovic is going to be there, you know, but just an ugly scene, unfortunate scene, for a country that, you know, is still fighting, getting better. You know, it seems to me they're going to be kind of hard pressed to make it to Eurobasket, with a 2-2 record. Seems to me there's going to be, enough teams with 2-2 records that that it might be a challenge for them to get to Eurobasket. Just a really unfortunate scene, and you know, hopefully everything has been cleared up between them two. You know, you look at Musa, and you know, a lot of people think he's the future of that, you know, huge part of the future of that club, of that national team. So that's my take on it. Eurobasket, two more sets of games tonight, Wednesday, and on Saturday. So Saturday we know the final, we know the field then for the Eurobasket. So go check them out, those games. All right, so I guess that's it. Head to the interview now. Last season there was a video done by EuroLeague about a team in Germany called Syriana, and it was a team made up of Syrian refugees here in Germany, and how they were taking on they came together for, they played 4 games, and caught my attention back then, and had bookmarked it to chat with the head coach there, kind of get the story behind it and everything else. So I had a chance to talk to Mahmoud Al-Abed, who was the coach of that team, also a refugee from Syria, who's been in Germany now since last summer, summer of 2015, and how he puts together this team, Syriana. So without further ado, here's my interview with him, Mahmoud Al-Abed. So enjoy, and we'll talk to you on the other side. So on the show this week, we have Mahmoud Al-Abed, the... Among other things, coach of Syriana, a professional basketball team made of Syrians in Germany. Mahmoud, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you for you and for supporting us.
To start, maybe tell us about yourself. I believe you've lived in Germany since last summer, summer of 2015. You've been a coach for a long time in Syria. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, my name is Mahmoud Al Abed. I work as a coach in Syria about 15 years. Last 3 years, I was with the first men team in the first league. Also, I get as a national basketball coach for the 3-on-3 teams for Syria for ladies, and we play in Thailand, the league, the champion. For me, really, it's the first thing that I want to do here in Germany. When I came to Germany the last summer, in 10th of October, to start our life for sure, and also to do our dreams. And one of my dreams was to make and create the first professional pairs of Syrians, that they already come to Germany and Sweden and Holland because of the war. And a lot of them are national players also. Then I start and make like a small message at Facebook, included all the players that they are in Germany, and I ask them about if they want to join my idea that I want to create this team. And really, after 2 hours, almost all of them, they are like 13 player in the group. And all of them say, "Coach, we are with you, and we like the idea, and we trust you, and we know you will do the best for this." And that's true after 1 month from that, and after I see all of them are really happy for this idea, I try to plan for a meeting for all of them and to make like a plan for a game in Düsseldorf, where I live, with the team and the club that I already have a contract to work with them as a coach also. And they are Giants Düsseldorf. Then we decide to meet, and it will be happen at 10th of March. And that happened, and all the players came to Düsseldorf, and we played 2 games, the first 2 games for us. The first one we played against under 18 for Giants Club, and we won. And after that, immediately in the same day, after the first game, we played second game with the main team, the second main team for Giants, and they are the best. They get the first place in their league also, in Oberliga, and they won us by 10 points. It was really also an amazing game, and the Giants like our team, that they are new, they play with tough, and also they have a nice spirit together. They play as really one team who practice every day, but who didn't practice never with together. And even the players did not play at the same club in Syria before. They are in different clubs. But thank God we make our best. And also, after we finish, the Giants says, "Coach Mahmoud, if we like the idea and we want to support you, if you like to play under our names, in Landesliga, because the club has many teams, and if you want to play in Oberliga and Landesliga next season, I mean this season, you will be welcome. And we like the idea too much, and really now next step for me was trying to bring all the players to Düsseldorf."
So
after that,
okay, keep going. That's fine.
Yeah, a lot of people here, like the government or the offices who support refugees, and a lot of friends really try and make the hardest work to bring the players here, because they like the project and they like Suriana players and like how they think. But really, it was very difficult to bring them to here. First of all, it's hard to transfer their papers as refugees. Some of them finish their papers and make the interview, and some of them not. And the biggest problem is there is no flats to live here in Düsseldorf, because, you know, Düsseldorf is a big city and a lot of people live here. And this is very hard to have a flat for all the players to live here. Then after we see that it is very difficult, we decide to continue playing games, friendly games, till we find solution for that. And we play really more games. We have invited to Limburg and we play there. with a second main team, and we won this game also against Limbok team. And the most nice game, or really, it's because it's All Stars. We play Suriana against Düsseldorf All Stars. A lot of players are really very good from this team. Some of them play in Pro A or Pro B and or in the Regional Liga, and it was like Stars game. And with Suriana, we also share our Asia, the best player in Asia and Syria. He called Michel Madeli. He joined us and he played with us, and it was really great also to have Michel with us because he is the best player in Asia. And we have a good game, and we won also. Suriana won the game by 7 points, and a lot of fans came, and it was amazing with this spirit of basketball sport between the fans and between the Germans and between the Syrians. And I'm very happy because all the people still now talking about this day and this game. My next step, whilst we're looking for a sponsor for the team to get some money to make jerseys, and we start our dream. Even we can't play as the league, the main league this season, but we are going to make like a small tournament, and we invite good teams from each time to each time. I want to make it, it's called the Challengers. This tournament will happen each 6 months. It depends on the league break. And I want each time to invite 5 teams. With Suriana, it will be 6 teams. And we play this tournament from time to time in different cities, just to make Suriana more known. And also we can play for a lot of teams till we get our dream to play in the Liga.
So the final goal, then, let's say, would to become a a full-fledged club made of Syrian players, and to actually play in a German league, probably starting probably what, fifth, sixth division, right?
It was really not clear. Can you repeat?
The idea is to become a full club and to have all of the players, all of the Syrian players in the one city.
Yes.
With you.
Yes.
and to play in a league.
Yeah, to be clear with you, our target is first of all to show all Europe and all the world how the Syrian basketball style and how we are really good, because a lot of people say, are you really play basketball? Are you really good enough to play against anybody? I want to show all the people that we already have a good league and we are a good level in Asia. Also, we didn't arrive to World Cup one day, or we didn't play with the Europe teams before. But now we have the chance to show all the world how we're playing basketball and how we are want to play with all the teams all over the world. And also there is the advertising video that happened with the EuroLeague. You saw it in the page of Suriana. They also show it in all over America and Europe, and that helped us to know more. And a lot of connection I get from many teams and many coaches want to play with Suriana, and that's really very great for me. The second target that we're working now on, we want to play in the league, because we already all live in Germany now, and we're trying to get the Suriana in the main league, like Oberliga or Landesliga, and then we start go higher in the divisions.
You mentioned the EuroLeague video. How important was that video? And I'll have a link on the podcast page. How important was that video for Syriana
to make
people,
sure,
more aware of it?
Sorry?
Yeah, just how important was that video from EuroLeague, which so many people know?
Yeah, the video really helped us so much. First of all, he broadcast our important game in All Stars. And then it's really make us happy because a lot of people see us in Syria and in Arab countries and all over the world. And this has helped us too much to known everywhere. The second thing also, this video can help us to get more sponsors or to get more games in the future. And this is what we need.
Maybe talk about the players on this team that you had this past summer. I saw this past year. I saw that they were mostly younger players. I believe between 18 and 23 years old. Maybe about the players and where they're at in Germany. Are they playing for what level they're playing for in Germany? Maybe who's the top player in Germany right now of those players?
Suriana contains different ages. We start, as I told you, by the first 15 player, and it was almost all of them between this ages, between 19 till 23. And really, I'm proud of them all because they create Suriana. They work hard to show the basketball of Syria in this ages, even they are still young. But they are really good, and almost a lot of them playing in the yes national team. For me, it was great that I start with them because they really work hard and they really do give a very nice image about the team. I try to help them also to start their life here, to go to the university or to have something. to continue their study here in Germany. But as I told you, it depends on their papers and interview dates. Now, after we start our first two games, a lot of Syrian players also and national players contact me and like the idea and says, coach, we like to be in Suriana too, and it's an honor to us to play with the team, and I'm also happy for that. From different ages, and how Suriana contains about 20 players all over the cities in Germany, and they are ready to play with Suriana in any tournament or any event.
And right now, it's player. I know that Germany was the main country to take in the Syrian refugees. Right now, you're focused mainly on players in Germany, or do you have? I think you mentioned Sweden as well, but do you have players from outside of Germany that you're also thinking about, or I mean, there's enough headaches, you know, getting everybody together. But are you just worried right now about Germany?
Yeah, this is a problem. As I told you, I'm proud of all the players that here in Europe, in Germany or Sweden or Holland or nearby, and a lot of player from Syrian player in Sweden and Holland contact me, and they are really pretty good, and they are national player, and they are will help Suriana also in the games. But really, it's very difficult now for them and for us to join because of, you know, as I told you, it takes time and fees because the transportation is also so expensive. Then it needs a lot of planning to bring them. But I think when we work on the tournament, the Challenger, almost all of them will solve all these problems and join us because I can't describe this when somebody told you, I want to play with the Suriana team or I want to play with my country team, that means a lot. Like if you play for your national team, and it means for each player a lot. He don't care then about the fees or the comfort or the transportation or anything, or he got there or not. But his target will be to play in this team.
Yeah, I mean, the last time that the Syrian senior national team played was the 2011 Asia Championship. And in 2013, there was the under-16 FIBA Asia Championship. So the world hasn't seen Syria since it was the 2000 9 world championship, under 19 world championship. This is maybe talk about the excitement that these players had when they were coming together to play. Okay, not officially under a Syria flag, but as close to under the Syrian flag as possible.
Yeah, I didn't get your question.
How important, how excited these players were to play for this team.
Again?
Just talk about how excited they were to play and what it means for them to play for this team.
Yeah, I told you, we start by message when I told them I want to create this team. And then when they read how the basketball in Germany work, I mean, they already tried to play in many teams in their cities. Each player in his city tried to play, but the problem is no future for the divisions in Germany under the second Regionalliga. I mean, if any professional player who want to play in any team and get money and get good contract, he should play just in a Pro A and a Pro B. This is who are supported by sponsors and who will pay money for players. But all the other leagues, like Regionalliga, Oberliga, Landesliga, and others, they are just for hobbies and just for fun, and nobody care about supporting them from the companies, or nobody can get any money with that. Then the Syrian players, especially who are playing in national teams and who live in the cities, they don't play in this good league. They face that they cannot do anything just to play for hobbies, and they can make it like really a professional and get the contract and get money from basketball. And Suriana gave a solution for them for two things. First of all, to play as one team. They already know each other how they play before. And the second thing, maybe we get to have a sponsor and they get to have a money.
The Syrians that are here in Germany, who's playing in the highest league right now?
From the players?
Yeah, from the players.
They are two or three just who play in the, not very higher.
Yeah,
but it's like a Pro B, like a regional first league.
You have Pro B players?
No, not Pro B, first regional league.
First regional league.
Yeah.
So one step below.
I would say in the future when we start playing more games, two or more will get also a chance to play in higher leagues.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's exposure. You know,
we just here 1 year, and they need time.
Yeah. Playing again, and also exposure to German clubs. So, which players are in the first Regionalliga? What are their names?
It's Mahmoud Asfera. I think it will be difficult for you.
Okay. Was he in the video? The EuroLeague video?
No.
Okay. So you mentioned before Michael Madanli. You know, this is a name that people in Asia basketball will know. You know, he was a star for Syria.
And he
was a star in the Chinese league and is playing in the Philippines now. He came to play in the Dusseldorf game, the All-Stars Dusseldorf. Has he expressed a commitment to you guys at all? I mean, is there maybe a thought that if there was enough support?
Sorry, I hear the first part, but I didn't hear the question.
Is there a support from Michael Mandanli that maybe he would even come here and actually play for the club?
It's really hard to do that because, as you say, he is really a superstar and he gets many contracts from Chinese and Philippines, and now he playing in Philippines, and hope he the best, because he really very not just a star, he is very kind person. He really likes to support everything for his country. As you saw, I just talked to him, and he says, "Coach, I want to join you." I think he will come to join us, like support us from like watching the game. He said, "No, I want to be with Soriano also in this day for this game." And really, it was very. I'm very happy for that because he shared us, and now he made a very great job in the Philippines. He scored about 30 points, and he gets a lot of responsible all the game. And really, he do the best, and he is like an honor and proud of all Syrians and of all Asia countries.
Maybe talk about what it means to do this, this club, and to work with these players, you know, who are the same as you. You know, you're not in your home country, and knowing at the same time everything that's going on back home. How does that, you know, being with your fellow Syrians here, you know, how difficult is it, you know, doing that while knowing at home so much trouble is going on?
You mean the difference between practicing here and between our country?
No, no. What it's like for you emotionally to do this, you know, be with your fellow Syrians here in Germany, and then back home, there's so many bad things going on.
Yeah, for us, we leave our country because of war. Everybody knows that. And we really hope God to back safety to Syria, because really it's an amazing city. And all of us, one day when we decide to make Soriana as the coach or as the players or as manager for this idea, we're looking to get Syria back and to show all the people how we Syria, that they have engineers, they have a good supporter people, good players, and we have really intelligent people in all sides, and one of them that's the sport. And then it's a really bad feelings when you do anything far from your country, but the life is go on, and our target really to show all the people that the refugees are not bad, because they already are a human body, and when they leave their country from a war, they will success in each place in this world if they already have something to give.
Living in Germany, I understand German and follow the news here and follow the politics that are going on. How much do you pay attention to, what the politics within Germany regarding refugees? You know, how much do you pay attention to that? How much do you follow it, the politics here in Germany regarding the refugees in Syria?
For me, as a coach, like a private, I always trying to know what's going on with refugees, and also try to support and help wherever there is any event for refugees. And also, as a Suriana, we want, after we get the players here in one city, to make like some event for the child, for the refugees who are in the camps or who are in the containers, because they live all the time with boring, without any useful things. We want to make like something for them, get like a number of childs and get them to the court or to the gym, and make have fun with them, with all the players, and make some games for them or some nice tournaments. You understand me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just make a refresh for this child, because if you saw them in the camp, really from the morning till night, they just be in this space, cannot go out and cannot make anything because a lot of reasons, not because of the government or something. No, I mean because of the situation they live. They leave their countries and they saw the bad world really from for 4 years, and they came here with no future because they already wait till they finish their papers. At this period are really very bad when you keep waiting your permission and your paper, and especially for the child who do nothing and they understand nothing, just want to play and just want to do something. They feel they are alive. This is really what I care, and I want to make like ideas, and also I will give my ideas to the government for who support the refugees, and they like a lot to make something for the child, like even from time to time, even 2 times monthly, to took them for a gym or for a garden or for any place to make refresh for them.
You mentioned you're a coach. I believe you're working with Giants Dusseldorf. Tell us how you spend your days. What are you working on now in Germany in Dusseldorf?
Okay, first of all, before I'm basketball coach, I am engineer, IT information technology, network administrator. I work on this field also for 10 years. I get the practicum. I'm lucky that I get the practicum in Deloitte company, Deloitte firma. It was really huge and amazing company. I get practicum now at the morning at Deloitte for IT issues. And after that, immediately I have a full day with 2 practices. Because I'm working with RIT Giants, as you say, with 2 teams. First one, Uwe Ibsen, under 17 years old. And the second one, Herren team, Landesliga, the main team who play in the Landesliga. For me, I get choices when I get a meeting with the management of RIT Giants for the new season to choose which team I would like to get. And I want to start my first league for me in Germany as a coach with low leagues, because first season, and you should know more how the difference between the two kinds of different styles of the basketball between Asia and Europe, and there's a lot of difference really in many things, like in the referees, in how the players acting, how the game's going on. It's some different in some details, not a lot, but in some details. And also, I want to work with young guys, because when I choose my Landesliga, it should be experienced players. But really, when we don't have this experienced player, I depend on a young players who play fast, who play fast break, who really play tough and make a good defense. And for me, even I don't have that experience at players in this league, I will start with this young players, because before future, I believe they will be the future of the club.
If somebody listens to this, says, I want to help, I want to support Soriana, what can they do? How can they help?
To be honest, really, any support of any kind, it will help us. And before I say what we need or we are looking for, I want to thank everybody from 8 months till now who helped Soriana and who helped the refugees and who really helped with any way, by money or by supporting or by helping to find a place to sleep for one day, to success any game, or to who invite us from the clubs or from the government. Really, I want to thank you so much for everything you do and what you're going to do also in the future. Now, what Soriana looking for? We're looking for, as I told you, to be a real team. And we hope that we are in one city. And even if we are not, we are trying to get sponsors. And now we are talking about Metro. Metro want to give us supported with some money. We work on that. And I want to thank them also. They are really very nice. We want to make jerseys, and we want to make this stuff for players to be ready for any game to view like Suriana, because almost now we get the jerseys from the other clubs to play the games. And, you know, when we get some money, we can pay the transportation for the players to come from their cities to the city where we will play. And this is our main target. We don't like to be rich from basketball because we are already know the situation, but we want to play our most important thing. This is our half of the life. As I told you, by the morning we are working or study, but the other night or the other half of the day, almost we spent it in the court or in the gym, because we live with basketball for 20 years. Even the young guys, they spent all their life in the court or in the basketball gyms. And also, really, I want to thank you all, you and everybody, newspaper and EuroLeague, and all the people who support us and try to broadcast our story.
If anybody wants more information, tell them how where they can find it, social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, where people can find out more information about Suriana.
Yeah, about Suriana, we have a page, at least now on Facebook, called Suriana Team. We're looking for make also a lot of stuff in other social media in very future and soon. But we still wait the sponsors, because we need to make something like professional for the other social media with logos and with this sponsored logos. And this will happen, I hope, soon. And I will also put it in the our group in the page, in the Facebook.
Inshallah.
But
right?
Our now main connection is in the Facebook, in our page.
And maybe one day a Suriana, a team based, a team with Syrian players in Germany in the German league. So hopefully one day, inshallah, right?
Inshallah. Yeah, that's true.
Mahmoud Al-Abed, thank you very much. I appreciate you telling really a great, fascinating story about people with a great spirit in Germany and trying to just another angle of basketball. So thank you very much for coming on the show and good luck.
I want to thank you so much. I want to thank you really so much for put a view for our story and to support us in your way. And thank you so much.
No problem at all. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Go check them out. You know, and follow them. And you know, if they end up putting together a game together, go check it out. Should be some interesting stuff. And you know, it's a fascinating story. I hope to meet Mahmoud one day over in Dusseldorf, in the Dusseldorf area. If I'm over there, I'll probably try to stop by. Yeah, just a, you know, heartwarming story. You know, these guys are going through so much, having to deal with, you know, being in a foreign country, trying to gain acceptance and trying to get it news or whatever going on about what's going on back home, and pretty bad situation there. And here they are trying to put together this team, this club, and. So, good story. I was glad to finally have a chance to talk to him. So with that, I'm going to call it a show. Thanks again for listening. Again, you know, to reiterate from last week, you know, it's, you know, 4 years of doing the show. Absolutely amazing. And it means a lot, and you know, I'm trying to figure out how, you know, to keep it going or not. You know, if so, in what regard? And I think if I were to stop it, it would be missed from my side for sure. You know, there's still the consideration to maybe find somebody else to do it with. That's still going on in the back of my mind. In general, thanks for supporting the show. Thanks for feedback. You know, let me know what you think. With that, hope we get another, I'm not going to say another 208 episodes. Let's just go with 8 episodes first and then go on from there. Keep going. Last thing, let you know what you're going to be listening to. The song is called ABAYAM with periods between there. And it's called, the song is by Gardens. And it's from a really cool music label, the Beehive Recording Company. And it's available on Free Music Archive, freemusicarchive.org. Check it out. And enjoy the hoops, Asian hoops. European hoops. We're going to know now who's going to be in the Eurobasket. We have club games going on. I think it's just another 2 weeks. Yeah, about 2 weeks is going to be the start. Are going to be the qualifying games for the Basketball Champions League. So that's going to make its debut. Hope you enjoyed the podcast with the CEO. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Hi, my name is Patrick Komnenos. I'm the CEO of the Basketball Champions League, and you're listening to Taking the Charge.